Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this satsang, this radio program that's being heard all over, is for Saturday, February the 18th, 2017. And I'm very grateful to be with you. I really am. I have some wonderful questions today about getting over it. People are always saying, get over it. Well, let's take a look at getting over it, what it might mean, and maybe there's more to it than what we think. Just maybe. I want to remind you that our radio programs, our TV programs that you see on our website at aspire.org are all there due to the loving nature, the generosity of my sponsors who make all this possible by paying for airtime. And now we have some very happy news for anyone who becomes a sponsor. You can listen to all now of the Aspire TV CDs that I made for programs years ago, and even currently in the Beatitudes and some of the beautiful things I did on the Tao, the Buddha Eightfold Path. There's so many that you can go and now listen to for free, of course, on the internet, on the website at aspire.org. And if you go there, it's under Aspire TV. You can listen to anyone you want. You can download it if you like and enjoy it. Put it on your iPad or your iPhone and just fly with me, or any device, I guess. I'm not very techie, so I don't know. But it's all there for you for free for being a sponsor. And I hope you enjoy this. This is something that was technologically not available to us for a while, but we finally got it straightened out. And now it's there for you. And if you are considering being a sponsor and helping us, it would really be appreciated. You will get all of the CDs from all of the TV programs I've done, and be able to listen to them when you want, as you want. You will get the commentary podcasts and video casts, of course, the message of the month, of course, each and every month. And it's all there for you to be of service to humankind, service to you, and a way of thanking you for being a sponsor. So there you are. It's all there for you. And I want to thank my sponsors, and I want to thank those of you who write in and listen to the radio program from all over. And it's just very, very kind. I need to say this to you, and I know this sounds stupid, but you know, look who it's coming from here. I often get emails, questions from people who are listening to our broadcasts in foreign languages. And I need to say that I don't speak the English. I'm sorry, I don't have anybody to interpret. So if you can put it in English in some way, it would be very helpful, and I'd be very happy to consider your question. All right, the first question comes from Janice, and she lives in, she says, the Midwest. That's all she'll say. Greg, how does one get over it, as it is said, especially when it hurts like hell? I don't see how one just gets over it. Can you explain, Janice? Janice, I understand what you're saying. There are some pains and wounds that people go through that live on within them for the rest of their life. In fact, some of those pains and wounds take over their life and end their life, actually, cutting down the years that they have to live on earth because it invokes illness and depression, physical illness. It's a tough one. Let me just say this. When something happens and it is absorbed by the emotions and becomes a part of the build of my emotional nature, that is when there's going to be problems with health and everything. in our life. And I have seen it over and over and over in my career. So when it becomes a part of the way in which I structure my emotions, a part of the way I live with them, kind of a part of the blueprint, it builds the castle of my emotionality, as it were, then, you know, it's hard to get it to go away. And especially if it has something to do with a woman, it'll have something to do with their survival, their basic need to survive through DNA. That's a very big one. And in a man, maybe something that takes him out of the man club, where he is respected, or where men live and die, which is in success or failure. It really bugs them. So there you are. There's that part of it. Okay. So you ask me, how does one get over it, especially when it hurts like hell? There are many different emotional wounds. Some you live with for a while until those emotional wounds deteriorate and become a part of sludge. Then there are those emotional wounds that become a part of the fabric of the way you live. And they don't go away either. And they just kind of lurk around. And then there are ones that are just devastating. I have given to my students, Janice, four different kinds of catharsis. And I feel that catharsis is the way. I feel that the only way to get it out of the body and to get it into the clarity of the conscious mind, taking it out of the unconscious, out of the body a little bit, weaning it out, as it were, and learning how to breathe and breathe quickly, how to allow that breath to take you out of the emotional realm, or bring it up and then let it go, bring it up and let it go, is the only key. Now, you can go on my website at aspire.org and go look at meditations, and you will see catharsis. And you can choose any one of those you want. They will work. They are effective. But you have to understand something. Letting go of emotions is like acid reflux. The first thing you're going to feel, first the heartburn and then the acid reflux. And as you feel the pain first of the emotionality and how bad something might hurt you, and then you start doing the catharsis and it starts coming up your throat and you start feeling emotional and like crying and sobbing and getting angry. Most people right there make the big mistake. They don't let it go. They never let it go. They swallow it down again, re-ingest it, and it starts all over again. Now, why do they do that? It's a natural kind of reaction. It's the way our neurons fire off in our brain. And these pains and these sorrows have become so very much a part of the way we live our life. There's so much a part of everything that is important to our life that we miss the whole thing. And we never really understand the nature of who we are and what we are, because we have this tendency to shoot ourselves in the foot. I have been a counselor since 1973. Now you do the math, okay? That's a long time. And I have sat with people trying to help them learn to meditate, to work upon themselves, and what it means to work upon themselves. The first thing they have to do is let go of their hurt, their pain, their sorrow, their anger. What is all of that but the makeup of their life? There are certain tendencies in human beings. For instance, there are tendencies in women to want to hold on to emotional pain. They never forget anything ever done to them, and they seek vengeance. They will say they don't, but they do. And they never forget. They never let go. They never let bygones be bygones, as it is said. They just won't do it. If you betray a woman in any way, shape, or form, she is going to find a way to make it look like you were taking away her livelihood, especially in a relationship or in a marriage or something like that. They take it very, very seriously because you are. You're threatening their little circling of the wagons. You're threatening the way in which they're going to eat and take care of their kids and shelter themselves. So they look at it like, you went after my life and I'm going to cut your throat out for it. And I've always found that when we're doing catharsis and all of this, and we do it in our retreats, we cathart every day in our retreats. It's a part of the whole Meshigana of our crazy minds, but it's a part of our routine to let go so they can do the meditations, the Tibetan pulsing ones I have for them. They won't let anything up. They really won't. They swallow it. They won't cry. They won't. When we were younger and doing catharsis many, many years ago, they would cry and let this stuff up, let the pain, sorrow up, let it go. Not anymore. Now it's become, in the 40s and 50s, a part of the very fiber of their life. They don't feel it anymore in their throat. They just sense that it's down there and they don't do anything about it. And that's the difficulty. So Janice, you've got to understand this is a process and it's an important one. Men do the same thing, just in a different way. Most men use anger and the stuff that's down there in their belly as a way to motivate them to do some pretty cruel and stupid things. But they do it, and they only know how to use anger, not love, anger and hate to get things done. So what can I say to you? You know, the methods have been given by all sorts of different traditions. Sufis have theirs. The Buddhists, not so much. They don't do much catharsis, not formally that I know of. Maybe they do, and I just don't know of it. But I have never seen it. The Hindus have theirs. Everyone has something that they use to get the anger and the pain and the sorrow up and out. And I'm telling you, Janice, take it seriously. If you don't do this, if you don't take care of this, it will take care of you. And I'm not talking about in a pleasant way. It can get really ugly. Be wise, honey. Do your catharsis. Go take a look at catharsis at the website at aspire.org. It's under meditations, and get going. Don't let this thing eat you up. I hope that helps you. I really do. I'm running out of time here. Please forgive me. Namaste. How do I tell you? How do I tell you how important it is to cathart? Next question. This comes from Ted in, where is he? Las Vegas, Nevada. People deserve what they get. Why wish them well, Greg, when they are mean and cruel and should get what they get? Ted. Ted, I understand what you're saying. And I know revenge is a sweet thing for a lot of people who are into that kind of thing. I avoid it like the plague. And I've had chances to do some pretty stupid-ass things in my day, too, to avenge myself, but I never did it. I could never, ever do it. I believe that people get their own. And it is much better to let my energies be, shall we say, surrounded by love than by the idea of using my energy to harm someone who I believe has harmed me. And it's only a belief that I have. I mean, how do I know, and I have found this to kind of be true, how do I know that the malice that somebody else felt towards me wasn't the opening of a door that I could not open on my own? Because I was either too blind, too dumb, or too involved in something else to be able to recognize that I needed to go through this door. And you know, that's what I found. If you stay clear, you stay calm, You stay focused on your heart and not on your emotionality. You will soon see, without a shadow of a doubt, Ted, that the malice that somebody else has had for you was there to open the door for your life. And what do I mean by that? Well, it could be that that door opening was about forgiveness. Maybe not of them. Maybe not the very person that has hurt you or despitefully used you, as it were. But maybe for someone else. Maybe for yourself, to see what a turkey butt you and I have been. And to look and see the malice that we have put on other people. Maybe this is a part of us recognizing, if I get into this stream, the stream turns into a river, and the river turns into an ocean of pain. Why would I get into that? Why would I do any of that? For a moment of vengeful gratification? That's what I do? I don't think so. So there you are. I don't feel as though it is important for me to look at you and say, well, whatever you got, you deserved. It is your karma. I have people who I have worked with over the years, many years, who can't get over what has been done to them by their own hands. They think someone else did it. They think that another person is responsible for the pain that they feel currently. They do not see the ability they have to forgive and to love, to be the love they seek for the sake of forgiveness and loving kindness. They can't see it. They're so busy with their own means of personal justice, their own means of self-righteousness, that they can't see, oh, this has happened to me. And if I judge it improperly, if I don't see it for what it is, I'm going to be a victim to the very thing that caused me this pain and sorrow. I'm going to be doing it to other people. And I'm going to be not only doing it to other people, I'm going to think I am self-righteous and that this wasn't fair. I've had a lot of ugly things happen to me in the course of my lifetime, just like you. I've had students betray me, lie, cheat, steal, just like anyone else. And if you go after them, if you try to harm them or even the scales or show them who's boss, what have you achieved? What have you achieved? You don't think that you're going to make it even worse for them? And that's the idea. People say, well, yeah, that's the idea. Let's make it worse. You didn't. No. No. Some of the ugliest things, Ted, that have ever happened to me through my colleagues. How they lied and what they did. Yes, through my colleagues, I've watched them. They're terrible. And you would think they would be the ones that would know. No, we don't do that. No, that's not the way. No, 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 no. They want to be center stage. It's all about upmanship and who gets what and how much attention they get and how authoritarian they are and who would believe, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, there are many times you can go after these people and utterly, hurt them or destroy them. But why? This isn't the way. The way is to understand your method of living. You may be right that people deserve what they get, but I'm always of the ilk, help them. Help them. And I know your idea, you know, why help them? They didn't help you, and then that if you help them, they'll just get up and do it again. And that could be very true. But, you know, that's not the point of it all. The point is to keep an ebb and flow, a consistency of love in your heart, no matter what is going on. And the only thing that is important is loving people as they are. You can't change them. You can't move them. I've had students that needed to change. It would have been some simple life changes and then some more life changes, and it would have kept them from dying. But they would not do that. They were so entrenched, ensconced in their way of living and the method of their life, which was about doing things their way, their hatred, their fear, that they actually killed themselves by not changing. They didn't take care of their health. They didn't take care of their life. What can I do? I can't change all that. But I can help them. And it never stopped me from trying to help them. You can only help a person as far as they will allow it. So, Ted, don't take this attitude. It might be true what you say. But don't be a part of the cruelty that teaches them. Be a part of the compassion that awaits them. Be a part of the love that awaits them when they finally wake up and can look at what they've said and done and no longer go there. That's very important. I hope you understand. Please forgive me. Namaste. This vengeance thing's got to stop somewhere in our lives. We've got to stop. The last question comes from Cynthia. How do I love even my enemy when I don't really want to love my enemy as myself, and I would never do what they did? Cynthia. Cynthia, 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 let me just say this to you in retrospect. There is nothing a person would do on this earth that I probably would not be capable of doing. You say killing people? Well, right now I'm sitting in my little studio in my little house, and I'm making this radio program with you with my warm little Cocker Spaniel on my lap, and there you are. But who knows what I would do if somebody came in and tried to hurt my Cocker Spaniel? I don't know. I don't know. There is human reaction. There is the gut level DNA, you know, kind of thing, a live and die and that kind. Who knows? I don't know what I'm capable of with all of that. And I don't pretend to know. My object, my effort is to stay in the flow of my heart and not to speculate or play games with myself about what would I do if I did this or someone came in and did that. I don't know. But this I do know. Nothing is worth living for unless there is love involved. Nothing. I do know. I am here to allow for love, to let love live me. I know all of that for sure. So I am not concerned about the events. I am concerned about where do I put Gregory? Do I make him the genetic DNA guy who is only thinking about his own survival and his own fears and protecting what's his and all that other garbage? Where is he and where does he lurk? How does he seep in here? How does he flavor and color things to make me believe that he's not there and that his way is right? I stay conscious. I am very aware of what he's doing. I am very aware of what he wants. And to be honest with you, I don't let him rule my life and I don't let him have everything he wants. Believe me, I don't. So when I'm looking at him and I'm seeing what he's doing, I recognize that my enemy is just mirroring him. And if I love my enemy as myself, I realize, my goodness, I could have done that. My goodness, that could have been something I had to face. That might be something I don't understand in my logic and reasoning, but who's to say I wouldn't do it? I gain more, as it were, this, speaking your language, I gain more by becoming forgiving and loving than I would by becoming mean and, shall we say, cutthroat. Remember, in this lifetime, please remember, it's all about love. I'm out of here. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. I have some wonderful questions for tomorrow. I hope this helped you. I really do. It's the only thing I care about is that in some way or another, this helped you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.